We have continued to see as many as we could, but it comes at a loss of about $20,000 to $30,000 a month for us right now. We do have a very long wait list right now. The need has become greater, but we have not been able to meet the need at this time due to we just don't have the funding.
So you have spent about $500,000 then over the last year without reimbursement.
That is correct.
How long is that sustainable?
Well, it depends on what the state does this fiscal year. Right now, we're starting to have a little bit of a cash flow problem because the state is not paying on other services. So the other services that we've been able to keep going with payment from other grants and with Medicaid, those have been able to keep us going. That cash, although we've had to use up some of our reserves, when the cash quits coming due to no state budget January 1st, we will deplete even more of our reserves, and I anticipate our reserves to keep us going maybe another 4 or 5 months, and then we will have to take out a loan to continue providing mental health and addiction services.
How much worse is your financial position now than it was a year ago when we started the series Stretched Thin?
We've used up our reserves, and we are not able to make that back. We are at capacity right now. We can only meet so much of the needs of the community in mental health and psychiatry. We're finding that it's almost impossible now to even find qualified staff. People know that there's a problem in the state. They know that we rely heavily on state funding, and we can't even meet the needs anymore. We can't even get good staff in here to meet the needs in other areas where we're being paid. But right now, the cash flow problem is that we were living on a consent decree, and that consent decree was to at least pay the Medicaid for the Medicaid services. And some of that money came straight from the state. Some of it came through managed care. We are, for the first time, seeing a slowdown even in payments from managed care, the MCOs here in the area. And that is going to impact us greatly as far as our ability to even continue. But at this point, we can't even expand to meet the need right now.
You had said this. You had said when a person came in who had had ideations of killing a relative, you had had to ask him whether he could pay for the care. And that's not a question that you would like to ask. Are you still encountering stories like that?
Absolutely. I could expand twofold, fivefold, maybe even more in that area. I don't understand what exactly is happening. The demand and the need has just expanded in the last year, and I cannot meet the needs of those people, even some who have payer sources who do have the Medicaid. But we are still asking that. We're not only asking do they have insurance or Medicaid or anything like that, but we're to the point that a lot have gone out to the exchanges and have these incredibly large deductibles. And they've come in and maybe have a $5,000 deductible, and we need some form of payment to be able to serve them. I could go under very quickly if we don't bring in, at least 50% of our cost. I'll go through my reserves much faster and close my doors much faster. But we are still asking those questions. But we're even to the point that people that do have a pay source, we're turning away because we cannot expand in that area. It's an area we're already losing thousands of dollars, and we can't lose more.
So if they feel they cannot pay all of their copay, you cannot serve them.
That is correct.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. We're talking with Ann Campen, the Chief Financial Officer of the Tazewood Center for Wellness, for our series Stretched Thinner. It sounds like you are far closer to an existential moment than you were a year ago.
That's probably right. Yes, it is scarier times than they were a year ago. Certainly, you know, we're at the point that we continue our services where we have no idea, not just in the psychiatry where we were cut. We have other areas we were not cut, but now we have no promise of providing those services and knowing whether we're going to ever get paid. We have contracts, we have grants to provide housing for those with a serious mental illness that require higher levels of care, maybe 24-hour care or 8-hour care. Typically, these are people coming out of nursing homes and out of the hospital, off the psychiatric floor. We're still seeing those people. We're still moving them into our residences without any idea whether the state will even pay us for those grants and pay for the staff time and the cost, living expenses of having those people.
In Bloomington Normal, one agency laid off 6 workers who dealt with elderly outreach services, helping them navigate the healthcare system and signing them up for the benefits for which they are eligible. And a for-profit firm took over that particular piece of the pie.
Okay.
What is happening in your area and potentially with your obligations?
We're looking for partnerships. We are looking to other ways of surviving and providing care in a different way. There's various types of partnerships you can look at. You can look at affiliating with a local doctor's office or with another provider similar to what you do, or a large healthcare system. So we've been tasked, as I'm sure most agencies in Illinois have been tasked, to figuring out how do we survive? How do we continue keeping our doors open and providing an essential service that cannot go away in our communities? So you have to look at other partners. Who can you help? Who can help you to continue providing services? So that is definitely the next year's task set for providers like us and many others, yes.
A year ago, you had talked about the problems associated with not treating people, mm-hmm. that this creates other problems in the communities and even other problems for your agency when you have to turn people away. How has that continued to transpire? What is that situation looking like?
Well, I have been hearing reports from the local hospitals, all of them, in the areas that we serve and even in counties that we may not directly serve. I'm hearing that the emergency rooms in the hospitals are just getting an influx of people either with addictions or a mental illness of some sort. And we're hearing reports that they can't handle it. We've been asked to try to pick up that slack and help out the ERs and the hospitals. I was at a forum last week where a large healthcare provider mentioned that they have noticed a 30% increase in their ER with people who are showing symptoms of a serious mental illness. And they said in the last 18 months, and I thought to myself, well, it was about 18 months ago that mental health was cut and there was no budget, and so cash flow was depleting from the state, and I thought it has to be an outcome. We're being asked to help out, but we do not have the ability to do that. We don't have the funding, and we certainly are starting to see those cash flow issues. We can't do it.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. We're talking with Ann Campen of the Tazewood Center for Wellness. You talked about the staff. Enlarge on that, would you? What kind of job candidates are you seeing now that you would not have looked at before but are forced to look at now?
We are seeing people that are completely unqualified. We need therapists. We need licensed therapists, people with at least a master's level in counseling or social work. And I have never seen this. I'm not aware of this agency seeing it in years. Nobody even applying for those positions. And this isn't just our agency. I'm hearing that across the state. Why would anybody with a master's level, some sort of licensure, come into a facility that is funded heavily by the state of Illinois? Why would they want to come in here? There's no job security. There's no benefits. We've all cut benefits. We haven't given raises in, for us, over 7 years. There's no pensions. What do we have to attract those people to come in here and serve the clients that need help?
That suggests you've had significant attrition.
We have.
Your caseloads have done what?
The caseloads are growing. We're spreading out our appointments less frequently with clients so we can see more clients. It impacts even just the quality of care.
Ideally, what would the rotation of appointments be, and what is it now?
Well, it depends on the severity of the symptoms that the person's experiencing. Quite often, if we are serving a client that we call a linkage client coming out of a hospital, whether it be one of the state psychiatric hospitals or one of the hospitals in the state that have a psychiatric floor or a crisis floor, those types of people, when they come out, we need to see them immediately, within a week, and we need to see them frequently, at least once a week. We still have that goal of trying to get them in as quickly and see them as often as possible to make sure that they're stable, to make sure they're getting the medications that they need. But there's other clients that maybe we saw on a weekly basis that we've had to transition to every other week or maybe every 3 weeks. We're even pushing some to once a month because we need to take the ones that are
in crisis.
Yeah, in crisis, more pronounced symptoms. So we're triaging them a little bit differently to get them through, and hopefully we make good clinical decisions that we don't allow them to go longer than they can go. You know, another agency similar to ours, they had a young man who was either heroin or opiate addicted that was ready for treatment, and he had to be put on a wait list. And 1 week later, after the phone call was made and put on the wait list, he overdosed and died. The mother called and said, remove him from the wait list. These are the stories, these are the things that human service providers are now dealing with. But, you know, when you're dealing with staff that are more limited, we don't have as many, and you have to understand, this isn't just that we've lost staff, the need for the services have increased.
How many other Peoria area providers of services like yours are no longer providing, generating that increase?
You know, I hear lots of things. I am aware of an agency actually in your neck of the woods that no longer sees the Medicaid population in psychiatry because Medicaid maybe pays 25%, at most 30% of your cost of psychiatry. So you need other ways, grants and things like that, to supplement that so you can see them. I'm hearing doors being closed. And I we're also getting phone calls 50, 60, 90 miles away from people that need to see a psychiatrist because other agencies are either cutting back, laying off, or closing their doors completely.
Ann Campen of the Tazewood Center for Wellness, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
I'm Charlie Schlenker.